Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
And good evening. Welcome to the gathering on Signs of Life Radio. And if we have any new listeners, welcome. As you may not be aware, we dedicate one show every month to a discussion format, as opposed to a straight interview with various, you know, researchers and scientists and medical doctors and so forth. And 1 week per month, we also have a mediums and messages show. So the purpose of this show is for an open discussion, and tonight we decided that instead of having a theme or a topic, we would address or devote the entire show to discussing mm-hmm. questions that the listeners have. Many listeners email their questions to us at radio@foreverfamilyfoundation.org, or you're certainly welcome. We would love for you to call in directly, 1-888-627-6008. And let me just say from the start, the reason I said discuss and not answer is that obviously we don't have the answers. we can give educated opinions based upon experience and examination of the evidence, but when we talk about the afterlife, unfortunately, there are no hard and fast answers, but certainly assumptions that we can make. Having said that, our panel has stayed the same. It's Tom and Melissa Gould, Bob Ginsberg, and Fran Ginsberg. And before we, I should mention, before Fran tells us what's going on, that our sponsor tonight is Kamlak.com, Kamlak.com. So, Fran, catch us up.
Okay, I just want to say, Kamlak, putting birth and death back together again. That's their motto, and it's really cool. And if you haven't been to the website, go there. Become a member. It's a really, really, really cool organization. Okay, so I want to remind our listeners to always check the events page on our website regularly. That's foreverfamilyfoundation.org. And just to let our listeners know what else they might be missing, that's coming up this month. On February 11th from 2 to 3, we have the Visionary Explorers Group. The time I'm giving you is Eastern Times. This Visionary Explorers Group meets online, so wherever you are in the world, just calculate your time zone for the equivalent of 2 to 3 p.m. on Eastern Time. On February 12th from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern, the Afterlife Discussion Group meets in Sanibel, Florida. And on February 18th from 1 to 3 p.m., the Afterlife Discussion Group meets in Miami, Florida. Our first webinar of the year is Spirit Talks and Spirit Walks, After Death Communication in the Laboratory, and that's presented by Dr. Julie Beischel and Mark Bocuse on February 15th at 9 p.m. Eastern. It's a webinar. Again, if you're going to tune in, just calculate for your time zone. Our annual grief retreat is open for super early bird registration on the website, and that will end on March 31st. The rates will go up. We do recommend booking early, as last year the rooms at the retreat filled up and some attendees had to stay off-site. If you're booking early, please keep in mind our no-refund policy. This event only gets better each year, so plan to join us this July 14th through 16th. Be one of only 50 guests who come from across the globe to spend a weekend in a beautiful and peaceful setting with like-minded people, all learning that our loved ones are still with us. The weekend is all-inclusive and features spirit communication with Forever Family Foundation certified mediums Rebecca Ann LoCicero, Joe Peretta, and Gina Simone, working alongside our other professionals and facilitators. It also includes a variety of activities and small breakout workshops, all designed to heal. And our Holiday of the Earth raffle is up on the website waiting for your entries. For just $5, you can win one of five one-hour medium readings with Forever Family Foundation certified mediums Dustin Livers, Ginger Quinlan, Nancy Marlowe, Heidi Jaffe, and Bobby Allison. The drawing is April 22nd, which conveniently is Earth Day. And please, please, please keep all of our programs going by visiting our website, clicking on the donation button. It's on every page. Because of the work we do not receive the grants and funding that all other traditional nonprofits enjoy. You can also help us pay our bills by participating in iGive.com, Amazon.com, Amazon Smile, Great Nonprofits, and WellZoo. Again, visit foreverfamilyfoundation.org for all the event links, information, and registration. Back to you.
Okay, so as I mentioned, we're going to devote this show and quite possibly all future shows to answering listener questions, whether you want to call in and write in. You can do that throughout the year. Just if there's something that you would like to discuss, you can email radio@foreverfamilyfoundation.org, or of course you can call in during the show at 888-627-6008. I made a list of kind of a spreadsheet of all the questions that have come in, and they're in no particular order, and I look at number one, which is a tough one to start off with, but the question was, I'm going through an agonizing time due to a personal loss. I'm taking the opportunity to ask, do we meet all of our loved ones, even if they have committed suicide? Who wants to tackle that one, get its thoughts?
Great question, because that's the one that creates the most pain in a loss, because of the cultural and religious stigmatism that's been given to suicide. First of all, I just want to say that from all of the information I've read, all of the work we've done over the years, everything points to everybody goes to the same place. There's no punishment involved other than our own self-judgment in the life review when we cross over. And there is no reason for people to believe otherwise, based on what we know from near-death experiencers, from medium readings when the deceased person comes through who did take their own life. And I'd like to throw one other concept out there along with this, is because we also understand that there's a very high belief and probability that our lives were pre-decided before we came here, that why would not our exit via suicide be also part of that plan?
Yeah, I agree that I've seen many readings for people who have connected with loved ones who have left by suicide, and I concur with Fran that once they're on the other side, they have an afterlife like everybody else, and it's not like they're immediately shunned or sent to a bad place. The one thing, having just seen a presentation called Ryan's Story about a 13-year-old boy who committed suicide because he was bullied in school. One thing I can say is, and I get these from the readings too, is the person who commits suicide usually has a great deal of regret for the pain that they have caused for everyone who is left behind who loved them. And so by us saying that you can cross over by suicide and be fine on the other side, I just have to put in there that people left behind are doubly pained in their grief, and you should really seek help before you try to go that way.
Right. And I think that whether it be suicide or a lot of us have a lot of baggage that we take with us when we cross over. And there may very well be a period of adjustment, a nurturing environment where you have help and guided to you know, to use the term, you know, move closer to the light, you know, and heal and grow. So I guess to answer the question, yeah, you'll see your loved one again. You know, we think in terms of time and space, so we think that, well, maybe, you know, in linear time is it going to be a while, but there's no time and space where it is. So I don't think that it's you're going to be have to sit and wait and wait and wait. I think it's all past, present, and future all at the same time there. So let's go to our scheduled break. We come back, we'll continue with many more of your questions. I'll be back in a few minutes.
The CAMLAC Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the CAMLAC Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlac.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
Imagine seeing spirits are spontaneously speaking indigenous Brazilian rainforest languages. Janet Mayer, a psychic medium, does just that. In her new book, Spirits, They Are Present, she opens the door to her private life in order to share her compelling, fearful, and at times humorous journey, providing evidence that when we die, we simply make a transition to another life. Spirits, They Are Present, available now at www.janetmayer.net, Amazon, and other online booksellers. Order your copy today.
Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide a forum where individuals and families who have suffered the loss of a loved one can turn for support, information, and hope. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. The Forever Family Foundation is a joint effort of scientists, research mediums, and interested people who support the premise that life does not end with physical death. We wish to prove that the bond of the family cannot be broken even by death. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707. That's 631-425-7707. Or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. After-death communication is an accepted occurrence in many cultures throughout the world. But for many others, proof of this phenomenon is essential. And research shows that contact helps move people through loss and grief. The Sign Registry allows people to register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to specific loved ones. Contact the Forever Family Foundation at foreverfamilyfoundation.org or go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life,
brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
Welcome back to The Gathering on Signs of Life Radio. The number here is 1-888-627-6008. We're going through your questions, and let's go to the next one on my list. This question involves different levels of life in the spirit realm. If I cross over and find myself in a certain spiritual realm, and my loved one later crosses and lands in a different realm, will I be able to see him?
I guess you first have to have that mindset of realms. And where do you think the realms are, like different floors in a high-rise or...
Yeah, well, you know, realms, dimensions, levels.
There are certain religions that talk about these levels.
Right.
And I think that's where that comes from. Right. But, again, I'm going to go back to our favorite book, Testimony of Light, which is just this hierarchy of enlightenment. And so everybody who crosses over with a different amount of enlightenment. And so no two people are in exactly the same spot, but you do all have access to each other.
What if we're in a big, I recall that I don't think you like referring to it like a school, but just let's say for this, everybody's in this giant school, and some are in kindergarten, and some are in the 12th grade
about to graduate.
And they all can meet for lunch and recreation, but then they go to their different learning spots.
That's a great analogy.
Yeah, and also what I'd like to say to answer that question, I think underlying the question is I want to make sure I meet up with my loved ones. Pretty much 99 to 100% of the readings that I have experienced and witnessed, they all begin with when you cross over, there's a loved one waiting for you there, that you will be greeted by people you know that are already over there. Cueing in on Testimony of Life, it talks about depending on what kind of energy you have created while you're here, you might have to be dealt with in another realm, if you'd like, than the people who are more enlightened. So once you get there, perhaps you'll have to have more work to do on whatever it is you were supposed to be learning when you were down here. But I think initially you are going to be comforted and greeted by someone who you know and love.
I just want to throw in that, and for people who have been the privilege of sitting with someone who they know is going to be crossing over, let's say in hospice or something like that, we see this beautiful exchange go on where the person who's getting ready to cross over is already speaking to those people that are going to be greeting them on the other side. So there's some evidence right within here in the physical world that goes on. You are going to see your loved ones again.
And, you know, on that subject of levels or spheres, I mean, I've read many of the channel reports channeled by people in spirit to, you know, through mediums that talk, you know, make the explanation of vibration and frequency. So and they claim that there are different planes, and some of them label, you know, like you said before, plane one or two, three, four. Some say there's seven planes or more. But they say that each subsequent plane or dimension, if you prefer, has a different vibratory level. So that they say that somebody in a higher level, where the vibration is very high, can slow down their vibration and visit with somebody in a lower plane, you know. But it doesn't, from what they say, it doesn't work in reverse. you know, so your loved ones sort of can come and see you, but you're not, you have to earn your way up there.
Well, I'm struck with a reading that my father came through on, and there was an issue that here on Earth that was bothering my mother considerably. She was still living at the time, and he was crossed over. And he mentioned to her in a reading that he's appealing to a higher level to help deal with the problem that we were facing. And so there is somewhat of a two-way communication with those who are even more enlightened than you are when you get across the way. So I think Melissa's analogy of the schoolhouse, that sure, you may be on a kindergarten level spiritually, but you can communicate with the people who are on the you know, the upper higher education levels.
Mm-hmm. Next question has to do with love. My question is, does love on the other side evolve beyond the types of love we know here on the physical plane? In other words, would the love you feel for your sister, for example, be the same as what you would feel for your wife, meaning a more encompassing type of love?
Do you mean that when the love for the sister versus the love for the wife while they're on the other side or here?
While they're on the other side. Okay, so would the love that you feel for your sister be different than the love that you felt for your spouse?
I'm going to have to say no. I think over there, love is an extreme emotion. It applies to everyone, and it's supposed to be so fantastic that even NDEers, when they come back, don't have the words to describe it. We are all entities of love on the other side, so why would one differentiate from the other? Also taking into consideration reincarnation. So when we reincarnate, we can come back into the same family or soul family and have a different relationship with the person that we had another relationship in a previous life. And you hear that also when people are talking about previous lives. So I had a sister here, but in a previous life, I was her mother. So so to me, when you're on the other side, a soul is a soul is a soul is a soul is a soul. It doesn't have a tag of male, female, mother, father, sister.
The only thing I could add to that is what we've heard about the notion of soul groups and soul mates, that on the other side, you may... For example, scientists will congregate on the other side. Musicians and artists will congregate on the other side. They're part of a soul group. And the person who hopefully you're married to is maybe a soul mate. And on the other side, you may interact more with a soul mate than you would for just the love of family in that. But it's really hard to nail down in human terms exactly what's going on over there.
It's a hard concept, and I battle with that myself because, I mean, you hear that love is the fundamental existence in the spirit realm. It's what everything is built upon. Mm-hmm. But yet also we know that we retain our personality and our memories when we cross over. And we know once you have a personality that people... treat people differently. So if we retain our own personalities, it's hard for me to imagine that the love is the same.
We've heard that about personality through readings, but maybe that's how spirit is showing themselves to the medium so those here can recognize them. But maybe really in the spirit world there isn't that distinction. It's only used as a tool to help people on this side
identify them.
I like that a lot because I've been bothered in readings sometimes when she's pushy and she's pushing right in, and I'm thinking, it doesn't seem to go with the whole I'm on the other side and everything is love. But what Melissa says is, if you had a, you know, a pushy grandmother, and she comes through pushy, oh, that's my grandmother, then that's validation. So, yeah, it's a validation tool, not necessarily a glimpse at what they're like over
right.
there.
Because the emotion of love is not distinguishable. It's not identifiable. So that makes sense.
Right. That also lends itself to a concept that they come into a field where they're able to do that.
Yeah.
When they are communicating with a medium or directly with somebody here in the physical world.
Yeah.
You want to take another call?
Yes, we have Sue from South Carolina. She actually has two questions.
Hello, right. Sue.
Hi.
Hi. You're on The Gathering. Did you have a question?
I've got two questions.
Sure.
My first question is on life lessons. Do you think that we're all here to learn a lesson? And if so, I have a hard time understanding this. I mean, I'm a breast cancer survivor. I've lost my only child, and now I'm raising a grandchild. Why would I sign up for something like this?
That's the million-dollar question, you know. And if we're here to learn lessons, and we have no memory of our previous lives, how do we know if we're learning or what to learn?
Yeah.
You know, so. However, the spiritual explanation is that in a past life, as difficult it is to imagine, that we signed on for this life to kind of round out our soul experience. You know, so, you know, I always battle with that myself. Why would I choose to come back in your situation? Well, why would I choose to come back as an impoverished, sickly child in a third world country, you know, with malnourished and ill, you know, I mean, why would we make that contract? We can't think of it in physical terms, you know, just, there is no explanation in physical terms, but somehow I would imagine it's going to make sense when we see the broad picture when we cross over.
All will be revealed.
But I certainly understand your frustration and the battle in trying to figure that out.
Right. Can I just throw one other thought, just to look at it from another perspective, is that nobody on the face of this earth has a perfectly wonderful life. Everybody has the so-called cross to bear. So, yes, some people have more on their plate than other people, but if we are understanding spirituality the way it is, this is a bunch of stuff that we agreed to experience for the purpose of an enlightened growth, so that when we go back to the other side, we are more enlightened. It's all about love and compassion on the other side. And this brings us to that point, unfortunately.
Sue is going to go arrive in that higher realm.
Oh, yes.
I hope you visit us.
And you had another question, Sue?
My other question is about dementia. If a dementia person, do you think that they go back and forth while they're still here on Earth and then cross over and then come back again? I've heard that. Is that true?
I think so. I mean, you know, whether you call it dementia or certainly the evidence from people that have deathbed visions, you know, they're straddling two worlds. Their brains, the physical brains, may be incapacitated, but their minds are not. Whether you want to call it mind or soul, and the mind or soul can leave the physical body. It's not dependent on the body at all. So, you know, there's evidence that people that have Alzheimer's, you know, the functioning mechanism, the interpretation mechanism is damaged, but their minds are not, so that their minds can move around freely, not hindered by the physical body, and you know. So I certainly believe that.
Do you have time for another quick one? If my son he passed away, and he chooses to come back, you believe in reincarnation. If he's reincarnated back to Earth, how do I ever get in touch with him?
We've heard that you, but you can...
That's the age-old question. And the response to that is it's difficult for us to wrap our heads around it because we live in a linear world with time and space. And we're the only part of the big universe that has this concept of time and space. And again, going back to the research with near-death experiencers, when they cross over, they say it's hard to explain, but everything happens at the same time, past, present, and future. So therefore, when somebody reincarnates, the soul is multidimensional. So it's not only has it reincarnated here as someone else, but it's still accessible on the other side because everything's happening at the same time.
We have read and talked about a book called Seth Speaks, which is a book that was written by channeling a spirit on the other side. And Seth talks about that your spirit is kind of like an octopus. There's tentacles going every different direction, and at the end of one tentacle, you could be living in the 14th century, and at the other end of the tentacle, you're here in the 21st century. And they're happening, as Fran said before, simultaneously. And then you, when you cross over, you can see the entity, but not necessarily the tentacle. So you will meet up with the person you love while they're experiencing three or four or five or how many different lives simultaneously. I know, the more I speak, the less clear it becomes, I notice. But that's what we're dealing with here on this planet.
Yeah, and we get a similar question to yours a lot, you know, where people have a fear. They say, well, I'm communicating, let's say, with my son in spirit now, either directly or through a medium. But if my son, you know, chooses to reincarnate, does that mean that I'll never be able to communicate with him again? You know, the theory is that our souls are composite, you know, of many, many different lives, and they could be in many places, in at once. So the soul could reincarnate in the physical, but at the same time, part of the soul is still in spirit. So yes, you can still always communicate, you know, with that person. It's a hard concept, but. I know the way you're thinking is that if your son were to reincarnate, you want to see him in the physical, you know. And there's a lot of evidence about for reincarnation if you read books by Jim Tucker and previous by Ian Stevenson, where you know the children have past life memories, and the scientists actually go out and research it, and they go to the places that the child remembers, and they bring them to the house that the child said that he lived in. And the child knows everything about the family because he was part of that family. So there's tangible evidence for it, but it's both on a soul level and a physical level. And I'm sorry for your loss. And all I could tell you is that, because it's something that I say to myself a lot, is that this physical existence that sometimes seems torturous and lengthy and never ending is but a blip in time. So you know when we it's just part of a continuum. So you know it's a little tiny fragment or a speck of a continuum of life that will just go on in eternity. So when we cross over, I suspect that we'll learn a great deal.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
All right. Take care.
Thanks.
All right. We're going to go to a quick break. We come back. We have a lot more questions. Stay with us. We'll be back in a few minutes.
The CAMLAC Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the CAMLAC Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. visit www.kamlak.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one. Does consciousness survive death? Can technology be used to interact with the deceased? Can hearing from the dead heal the living? At the Wind Bridge Institute, we are working to answer these and similar questions. Through our studies with certified research mediums, we are examining psychic abilities and communication with the other side, offering insights into the limitless nature of consciousness and unlocking the possibilities of our bodies, minds, and spirits. Be a part of it. Become a WindBridge member today. Please visit www.windbridge.org to learn more.
Hello, my name is Piero Calvi Parisetti, MD. I invite you to discover my video course on Evidence for Life After Life, a professional counseling resource for the bereaved and the dying.
Transform the fear of death. Heal the pain of a loss by learning about life after life.
For more information and a free preview, visit www.drparisetti.com. That's drparisetti in one word, .com.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide support for families who have suffered the loss of a loved one. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707 or on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
And welcome back to the Gathering on Signs of Life Radio. The number here is 1-888-627-6008. We're answering or discussing listener questions. Let's go to the next question here. It's a little kind of like two questions in one, but it says, humans have energy in the form of consciousness, which she says is ego consciousness.
Right.
And of subconscious, which she labels as God consciousness. When we meditate, we access the subconscious. So when we die, do we take both forms of energy with us? And then she says, can they, do they, or is there even a need for the people on the other side to meditate? Hmm. Well, I've never contemplated whether
wow.
there's meditation on the other side, but that's a valid, you know, question.
Uh-huh.
I mean, the theory regarding the ego mind, we all have ego mind, and the theory is that when we pass out of our bodies and go to the spirit realm, there's no more need for the ego mind.
It's so gone.
We're pure, if you want to call it God mind, we're of that, you know, a different type of consciousness in the spirit realm. That's what I've always read.
I think that's a given.
Yeah.
It's just,
yeah.
there's
there's no ego there. Ego is a part of the physical world.
Is that, what shows itself to the mediums, what we were speaking about before, those personalities?
That's what I believe, and that's why I believe they have to come into this.
Yeah, you manifest an ego.
Yeah,
to do this.
So if there was no ego mind in the spirit realm, then there would be no need to meditate, because you're meditating to access, to put your access other realms, to put your mind at rest. So supposedly, you're already in that.
Correct.
Already.
I agree.
So there'd be no meditation classes that we're going to attend, right?
No, they probably work on trying to access physical attributes.
Right. Although we have discussed this before, and I believe that people in the spirit realm have these mediums over there that help to connect with people.
Absolutely.
And mediums.
Oh, absolutely.
Maybe you don't want to call them mediums, but they're a helper.
Well, the spirit guides. When the medium talks about, well, my guide is bringing people here, and usually one of the family members steps forward and says, oh, and they've also got this person with them.
Good point, the guide.
So, yeah, I would call them guides.
Right, and when you do study your God consciousness and accessing it, the first step usually is to make connection with your guides.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Question, why is death so traumatic in human form? If the spirit is there and they never die, why are we humans so torn by horrifying grief?
We've been taught that culturally as we've evolved.
Yeah. But, and the grief is only an expression of the love you had for that person.
Right.
If there was no love, there would be no grief.
So if we were, as Francis, so if we were brought up in a culture, you know, whether it's the Aborigines or some other Native American or some tribe in the Amazon where it's just a matter of fact that when we die, we move on to this other realm and we still exist, I would imagine that their grief process is a lot different than ours.
I want to add something to that. It's not just when they die. It's that death is something that's welcomed. It's something that's part of the cycle. And,
yeah.
Wow, look, you've completed this.
Yeah.
You've graduated. Now you get to go on to the other side. Let's celebrate it. And that's why a lot of the ancient cultures have a celebration attached to death rather than this whole mourning thing that we have here in our culture.
Do you think that same this feeling is the same no matter what age the person was when they died? It's kind of hard to picture them celebrating the death of a child versus the death of somebody quite ancient.
I have to say it's still the same way, because they know that child or that person, that being, has completed whatever it was that they came here to do.
Yeah.
They served their purpose and now they get to go back. It's almost like, you know, if you're sent on a space mission, you know, everybody waits for you to come back,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you've accomplished your 30 rounds around the Earth, and now you're back, and everybody celebrates. It's kind of like the same thing.
If you were given enough energy, fuel, to complete what you were meant to complete, and then that fuel is depleted by design.
And, of course, as long as we are in the physical and have an ego and that sort of thing, it's only natural that if someone passes, and as much as we know that they're fine, and, in fact, they're probably better than fine than we are, we miss the laughing with them, the hugging them, all of that sort of thing. You're going to miss that, and that's you're not crying for them, you're crying for yourself, and that's
very true.
That's going to happen.
Very true. And we all feel that emptiness and that loss.
Yeah.
And you know, the unfortunate part of it, culturally speaking again, is that we didn't have the upbringing or the understanding along with us all the way to soften the blow.
Yeah.
So that we can say, okay, I feel terrible, but I know I'm going to see them again.
Right.
You know, so...
I mean, there's such a huge amount of the population who feels like, death, that's it. When you're done, you're done. Boom, you know. And for them, grief is staggering because they don't have that comfort that that you go on.
Has it yet been determined why our loved ones that have left the physical world do not communicate more with us?
Has it been determined?
Right. Well, a lot of people want to know, why isn't it, they say if the afterlife exists, then why aren't we in constant contact with our loved ones?
But we are. We are. But some people get... I talk to people all day long. Some people get daily communications directly with their loved ones. Some of them get dreams all the time. Some of them, granted, get nothing. And those are the people that have to go to a medium to make that connection. Because for whatever reason, they're so oriented to the physical world that they don't allow them to come in when they want to come in. Whatever the reason is, I just see the whole broad spectrum of visitations, from nothing all the way up to daily visitations.
Right. And of course, there are the people who get the communication but don't recognize it as such. And, you know, they expect, as you say, my mother at one point woke up from a nap and there was my father kneeling next to her smiling. And that's what they think is, why don't I get that? And she kept saying, I want to see that again. I want to see that again. And you know, the answer there is that it took a lot from the other side to get your energy to a point where you can manifest. And not everybody has learned that. You know, your loved ones haven't learned that, number one. Number two, as Bob mentioned earlier, this time on Earth, you think of 100 years in the space of eternity, it's nothing. It's a sneeze.
So you show up and it's like, where are they? Where are they? It's like, I was just there.
Yeah, yeah. And so when you go to the other side, first of all, it's a universe of wonder to explore and to continue, you know, your energy cycle. And then you also realize, well, you know, in an instant, they're going to be here anyway, you know. So I'll send something back because they're having a trouble with me, you know, and I'll, you know, try to get something through to them to tell them I'm okay. But they'll be here soon enough, you know. We'll all be together in the great by and by, so, you know,
right.
Be patient.
And I think, as you mentioned, it's not that those in the spirit world don't want to communicate. It can't be easy.
Yeah.
It can't be, like you mentioned, Tom. You know, it's you need help, and not everybody can do it. And you know, sometimes we have trouble getting good internet signal. Just imagine what it's like to project communication from another dimension. It's not an easy thing to do.
Right. There's another aspect to this too that we're not even considering, is that we're not put here to spend our whole day talking to dead people, and they're not put there on the other side to spend their whole time talking to us.
Yeah.
We're supposed to be doing stuff. Apparently, we have some sort of a contract of what we're down here supposed to be doing, and they are doing whatever they are doing. Nobody's floating around on these little clouds with harps waiting for us or a medium to summon them. So,
yeah.
So that's the other flip side of this thing. We have to take into consideration that that's not what life is about.
Or if you have a child and you say, how much is 4 plus 4? And as the child is trying to figure out, if you go, well, it's 8, where does the child learn? So if on the other side, spirit can turn around and make your trials and tribulations go away, then why are you here anyway? You came here for the trials and tribulations. So they're not going to give you the answer. They're just, they love you and they want you to do well and they're going to do what they can to help you, but they're not going to give you the answer.
I like that.
Yeah. And I still envision those in the spirit world. They're always on the lookout for these conduits, you know. It's sort of, you know, the physical depiction of it, you know, would be this beam of light extending up. Mm-hmm. But however the conduits are, whether it's from love that causes it, but, you know, that if the spirit entity sees a conduit through a medium, they'll jump on it. Or if they see a conduit through a friend of yours that is receptive to it at that particular time, they'll jump on that. Or they see, you're in the right dream state, you know, they'll jump on that. I think they pick their opportunities.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's one. My daughter often talks about seeing her deceased grandmother, who she never met. How's that? How do you explain this? Well, she's seeing it. Yeah, I mean,
I think the bigger question, maybe what the person who sent that in may have been thinking is she a medium? How do you explain? Is she a medium?
Possibly.
You know? But, you know, we've all understand that we all are hardwired with this stuff, and that when we are younger, which we don't know how old this child is, do we?
No.
When we're younger, we don't have the orientation to the physical world and the materialism that blocks us from allowing these things to happen. So she'll continue seeing her grandmother and talking to her, and as she gets older, that's going to stop, and she's going to be on her cell phone, and she's going to be running around with her friends, and she's going to be doing this, that, and the other thing, and this will be a fond memory, if a memory at all. And I think you see this in a lot of the mediums that we've certified. They all tell the story about how when they were younger, they saw spirit, and then they stopped. And then when they realized that this was part of their journey, that's when they allowed spirit back in again.
Exactly.
So it doesn't necessarily mean that you're a medium, you're going to be a medium. It just means that you don't have the restrictions of the physical world yet that says, no, you can't do this.
I think also, you know, the person may have was trying to reason if she never saw the grandmother and she didn't know what she looked like, how does she know that it's a grandmother? So she, even if she's seeing the spirit entity, how does she recognize that it's a grandmother? You know, so that, you know, that's...
Well, that's that inner knowing.
Yeah.
That's that inner knowing. So she knows it's her grandmother.
Yeah, and I love hearing stories like that because... I call them stories, but they're not stories. They're occurrences, because it's what could be more evidential, you know, if somebody's then, you know, is looking through a photo album and the little girl says, oh, there's grandma, you know, and you've never discussed grandma, and she picks her out, you know,
I feel like one of our grandsons does that. He takes a picture that's right alongside one of Tom's parents who have passed away, who we never met, and then there's another picture of my mom and my dad. And he's been picking up the one and pointing to my dad. And
whom he's never met.
No.
Right.
Yeah, I think he resembles also.
Right.
Yeah, so there is that. Though you will find that happening.
Well, I'd like to thank everybody that called in and sent in your questions. I would urge you for next month's show, just keep doing it. If you think of something that would be interesting discussion, email radio@foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Fran?
We now ask our listeners to please join us in our Healing Energy Circle prayer. May the universe create a channel of healing energy from our participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind, as we visualize the healing light upon Alex Hanna, Veronica James, Rich LeBlay, Lauren Ramnath, Vince Mattia, Isabel Ginsberg, Diane Archangel, James Rafferty, Donna Mello, Stanley Mullen, Marianne Pierzga, Glenna Irwin, David Haith, Michael Tim, Helen Montalto, and Cynthia Post. Now let us as one consciousness give our energy of loving thought by praying like this: to love one another, to treat others as we would like to be treated, to forgive others and return love for hate, kindness for anger, to spread this feeling to everyone, to our fellow man, as well as the earth and its environment. And now it's time to say,
our loved ones are only a heartbeat away.
Science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.